Chapter 10, Social Models of Opportunity. The Leading Fringe. We've learned that finding opportunity is about seeing opportunity. It's partially in the way you look at reality and partially in the situations that you encounter. As I have studied and learned about different domains of life, I have found myself in very different groups of people and very different cultures. If you hang out with a bunch of entrepreneurs, it's very different than hanging out with a bunch of people who are preparing for natural childbirth, which is very different from hanging out with a bunch of artists, which is very different from hanging out with an indigenous group of people from another continent. As you get to know different groups of people who have come together around different passions and purposes and places, you can also begin to see what I think of as one of the most interesting things about cultures. It's that each culture or subculture sees reality in a unique way. I read an article about the dying out of languages around the world. It suggested that each language is a record of a unique map, model, or paradigm of the world and how it works. When you start thinking of it in that way, then the loss of a language becomes a much greater tragedy, as long as you're one of the people who values different ways of seeing reality, that is. When you immerse yourself in a group of people and a subculture that is passionate about something, you learn a new way of thinking about and approaching everything. If you delve into the world of music and you surround yourself with performing musicians, you find yourself with a group that values expression and entertainment. If you go to work in a science lab, you'll find yourself in an environment that values research, measurement, and rationality. If you spend time in a social worker's office, you'll find yourself in a culture that values empathy and charity. Each of these domains is what we're calling a subculture, meaning a subset of the greater national or regional culture that they are a part of. Subcultures, to me, are like little laboratories that experiment with new ways to have relationships, collaborate, compete, succeed, learn, evolve, communicate, and much more. The cool part of being in a mix of diverse subcultures is that each subculture has a different way of doing things. They are optimizing for a unique set of values or a particular set of outcomes, and they have tweaked and tuned their reality model in order to best produce that outcome. They often don't realize that they are optimizing for values and outcomes, but if you look closely, you'll see it. Therapists live in a model of reality where things work better when you get into the other person's perspective and feelings, seek to understand their emotional life, and behave supportively as they move through difficult changes. Artists live in a model of reality where things work better when you creatively express what is yours alone to express in your unique way without worrying about whether or not everyone approves of what you're doing, and often being inspired and motivated when others don't like what you're doing. Entrepreneurs live in a model of reality where things work better when you look for business opportunities, then select the best ones to act on, test, and develop into valuable businesses, money, and assets. And within each subculture, you will discover a smaller group that is at the leading edge of evolution in that particular domain. I call this smaller group the leading fringe. They are leading because they are way ahead of the world in evolution in their domain. They are also living in a kind of fringe reality where they tend to be living experimentally relative to everyone else, even in their domain. And there are always a handful of evolutionary leaders in each leading. And there are always a handful of evolutionary leaders in each leading fringe subculture who are essentially living in the future. These are the people you're looking for. These are the ones who will give you the download about where things are going in the future of their domain, and often other areas as well. I love these types of folks because they bring a new way of thinking that is typically radical and unique. If you enter one of these niche subcultures and practice their specialty with them, you can not only learn a valuable skill set and approach to realizing a particular value set in life, but you can also acquire something much more fantastic and valuable. You develop a new prism for seeing life. It's when you start layering and combining these ways of looking at reality that they open up entire worlds of opportunity. When you take a model you've learned in one place and you use it in another very different place, you can become very innovative and potentially successful. Jeff Koons, the artist who creates massive metallic balloon dog sculptures, one of which sold for $58 million, the record for the most expensive work by a living artist ever sold at auction, started out as a commodity trader on Wall Street. He later emulated Andy Warhol's factory concept by hiring dozens of assistants to create the art pieces that he imagined and designed. If you listen carefully to how Jeff Koons communicates about his art, you can almost see the brilliant commodity trader in there, thinking about what would be the most valuable commodity for the art market. He learned to look through the world through the lens. He learned to look at the world through the lenses of a commodity trader and an artist, and the results speak for themselves. Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos, started out studying computer science in school. Then he launched an advertising network. Then he started an investment fund. Then he became CEO of Zappos, an online shoe company. I have known Tony for many years, and what always blows my mind about him is how he keeps learning about new areas of life and business. He is fascinated with building culture, to the point where he's known as an innovator in the area. He has also taken on an ambitious self-funded project to revitalize downtown Las Vegas, multiple lenses all working together to innovate in new domains. I was a long-haired guitar player in the late 1980s. Later, I went into real estate, where I started to study sales. I then went to work doing audio-visual for a seminar company. I then went on to learn direct response marketing. Then I learned how to be successful with women in dating. As I moved into each new area, I met people who understood that domain, and I learned about how that part of the world worked. But I also brought with me the lessons learned from previous domains. When I became an audiovisual tech for the seminar company, they were making poor-sounding audio recordings. Because I had played live shows and recorded albums as a musician, I was able to bring that lens with me to this new seminar environment. By looking at the recording a seminar situation through my playing a show and recording an album lens, I was able to immediately see where the opportunity was to improve things by getting better microphones and recording equipment. When I was a real estate agent, I started to study sales methods and systems. In the process, I discovered neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, which teaches that if you want to understand more about a person, it's important to understand their beliefs about the world. Later, when I was learning how to get a date or a girlfriend, I made friends with diverse guys who were naturals in this area of life. Because I had learned about beliefs in NLP, I knew to ask them about their models of the world. This led to many huge insights that helped me become confident in this new domain. When I started teaching dating advice, I first wrote a book, which became successful. Because I had worked for a seminar company, I looked at the growing business through that lens and knew that my next step was to do a live seminar. I recorded that first seminar, and it became my first audio and video course. Each of these experiences that I had and each of these subculture worlds that I entered in my life taught me different lessons, and most importantly, different and useful ways of looking at things. These lessons have become more and more valuable to me through my life. I find that people who have moved around in their lives become a part of different subcultures who have learned different skills and different ways of looking at the world. I find these people to be much more interesting, adaptable, and creative than those who haven't done this in their lives. If you've been in your environment for too long, maybe it's time for you to join a new community. In order to pursue this as a strategy, you must acquire the taste for being a beginner in novel situations. It can be stressful and sometimes embarrassing to be the only one in a group who makes newbie mistakes. But it is so worth the extra effort and emotional bravery required. As I mentioned, I met my wife, Annie, at the Burning Man Festival, which is, in my estimation, the world capital of intersecting diverse subcultures. It's a place that's designed on many levels for personal and collective experimentation. You can dress up in feathers for breakfast, attend a seminar on permaculture, then mingle with Silicon Valley venture capitalists at a talk on psychedelic research. Myriad diverse subcultures from all corners of the culture sphere come to experiment with novel ways of living, thinking, communicating, expressing, and collaborating. If you haven't been, and you're that type of person, then get yourself a ticket and come see my wife and I speak when you get there. By immersing yourself in leading fringe subcultures and finding the visionary leaders in those spaces, you learn new ways of seeing and understanding how everything works. You imprint new paradigms and values sets. you access aspects of your own potential that can be discovered and developed only inside of these diverse contexts. And you gain access to opportunities that are completely invisible to most people. Your opportunity network. Networks create opportunities. If you're part of what we might call an evolutionary network in a particular domain, you will increase the number of opportunities in your life. When you hang around innovative people who are experts at manifesting the reality that they want to see, you plug yourself into a powerful source of knowledge, ideas, experiments, collaborations, and news. As this information streams through the network, you have a much better chance of seeing it and understanding the implications than others who are not embedded in the network. Networks collect valuable information. Individual niche networks contain people who have spent their lives studying, experimenting, and figuring out the best way to do things in their domain. When you become a member of one of these networks and you intentionally approach it as a willing student, you can receive an incredible amount of value very quickly. As you become a member of multiple networks and connect with others in multiple networks, this effect becomes exponential. The real power is at the intersections. Because most people only stay in their own network, in their own little comfort zone, they don't experience the highest potential of their knowledge, transferring and using it in a different domain. It's when you take knowledge from one domain and use it in another that sparks fly and great opportunities emerge. This is another reason why it's important to continually expose yourself to new groups of people, have new cultural experiences, and experience new ways of doing life. I have had a lot of fun building my network in my life and seeing the surprising and amazing results of putting different types of people together and then watching what happens. I did a series of events called MetaMind, and I invited about 100 people to each of them. Many of the people I invited were from the online education and coaching worlds, and some of the people were from other diverse domains like art, science, philosophy, psychology, futurism, etc. Each day, we would have presentations and group discussions, many of which were focused on what is happening in the online education and coaching world. I remember one conversation that was centered around estimating what would happen in the future of the online education industry. As each of the people in the discussion shared their experiences, ideas, and predictions, something magical started to happen. We started to creatively imagine an educational model that involved taking parts of the traditional university model of education and combining it with elements that we were all learning about in our individual teaching, training, and coaching businesses. We envisioned a new role emerging of the virtual guidance counselor, who would be familiar with all of the highest quality online courses from different teachers, and who would also be trained in professional coaching methods. These people could help individuals understand their personality types, then match those talents to growing needs in the business landscape, connect them to the best online training courses, and then coach them through the process. It became obvious in that moment that this was a role that was going to emerge in the future, and that it represented a huge business opportunity. So far, I haven't seen it become reality, but it's one of the best business ideas that I've heard. Maybe you're the right one to do it, or maybe our company will do it someday. Or maybe we can even collaborate on it. Sitting in the middle of that group discussion put me at the heart of a fascinating network of people, and as each of us contributed ideas for a potential business model, it just became more and more valuable. This is an idealized example of the value of being part of a network of people who are good at finding and creating opportunity, but it gives you a sense of what's possible. This is an idealized example of the value of being part of a network of people who are good at finding and creating opportunity, but it gives you a sense of what's possible. I have had hundreds of conversations like this in my life. Each time, I marvel at the emergence of insights, ideas, and innovation that comes from bouncing ideas around between diverse minds. I also like to attend conferences for niche domains of interest and practice. I find that events that have up to several hundred people tend to be the most interesting. I'd say that the sweet spot is from a few dozen to maybe a few hundred or so. To me, this is the range where you're getting a group of people who are passionate, but it's still early enough in its development that you are learning something that's relatively new and fresh. I can remember attending the first Singularity Summit in San Francisco. There were maybe a few hundred people in the group. As I sat there, hearing people talk about computers achieving human-level consciousness and extending lifespan indefinitely, I knew that I was hanging out with a creative group of humans. I now have many friends from that world, and I find them to be some of the most interesting and creative people that I've ever met. Those small conferences are where the subcultures are crystallizing in many cases. If you can find them, go. Ultimately, you must build your own opportunity network. And you must approach the building of your opportunity network with intention. There's a huge serendipity element to opportunity and to the building of an opportunity network. But there's also great value to be gained by thinking about your social network as being a brain that is designed to produce opportunity for its members and for itself. And again, keep an eye out for the visionary creative thinkers in each domain that you involve yourself in. They will often be essentially invisible to you because their way of looking at reality will seem alien. They have been off on their quest to understand their dimension of reality for so long that they are often unrecognizable. A Silicon Valley venture capitalist famously called Steve Jobs a renegade from the human race when he met him. Steve was 21, had ripped jeans, and was walking around their garage workshop with bare feet. That's the kind of thing you're looking for. I remember going to Burning Man in 2012 with a group of friends and walking into the art gallery created by Android Jones. I will never forget seeing this man dressed like a shaman from another dimension, standing up on a small riser, lighting what looked like a brass bowl of something, then holding a small machine and pointing it at the bowl. As I got closer, I realized that he was lighting a large metal bowl of incense and then using a small leaf blower to circulate the scent of sage through the gallery. Android has turned out to be one of the most fascinating people I've ever met, and I think he's also the most innovative visual artist alive today. You wouldn't know this immediately if you had seen the interdimensional art shaman stoking the cauldron of incense with the leaf blower, but in retrospect, it makes perfect sense. And thank you, Android, for designing the cover of this book. Often, the thought leaders in these fringe cultures and niche networks dress in an unusual way, or they have their own style or mannerisms, or sometimes they have no apparent style at all. The visionary leaders in these domains are often unconcerned with participating in normal consensus reality, so they may not cut their hair, or they might live off the grid or in a house with 20 other people, or perhaps they have their own cult. They're often surrounded by controversy, or at least rumor. What I'm trying to do here is widen your peripheral vision so you start considering more diverse and interesting people as part of your opportunity network. Further, if you are part of several of these networks, especially if you're the only one that is the connection between those networks, then this becomes a multiplier. You recognize an opportunity relative to one domain, and then you look through your conceptual lens of the other domain and see how they could be layers or hybridize in order to create a new and novel opportunity. And instead of this happening just on the mental model level, which tends to be more of theoretical manifestation, it starts happening in a more real-time way. It's when you see opportunity emerging across more than one domain simultaneously, and you start seeing intersections, that things become really interesting. In the early part of 2017, I started getting a lot of messages from friends and people in my network asking me about blockchain and cryptocurrency. I had been casually following the rise of Bitcoin and the blockchain, but something happened in early 2017, and it really started to hit a critical mass in the consciousness of my different networks. Entrepreneur friends were asking about it. Artist friends were asking about it. Personal friends were talking about it. A couple of friends invited me to attend a live event on the topic, and when I went there, I saw three other people I knew within a few minutes. What stood out to me about this topic was that it was hitting the radar screens of very different types of people all at once. It was interesting to many different industries and groups. As I've spent more time attending blockchain events, making new friends, and learning more about the new paradigm and values system that is emerging here, I have realized that this is more than just the emergence of a new technology. It's also the emergence of a new culture with a different set of values. Already, many new opportunities have come into my life by connecting to these new entrepreneurs and visionaries. As you build your opportunity network, focus on finding people who are at the intersections of multiple networks. Look for the musician who knows the other musicians, but who also hangs out with technology geeks and foodies. Look for the architect who is the innovator in the group, but who also hangs out at the chess club and the windsurfing meetup. Look for the investor who has an investment mastermind, but who also loves going to art openings and who has a Burning Man camp. and keep building your opportunity network with new, diverse, interesting people who are connected to multiple networks. Your opportunities will increase exponentially as a result. Mastermind, the ultimate high-leverage tool for self-evolution. I'd like to share what I believe is the highest leverage model and tool for change and success that I know of. This is the idea of the mastermind that I first learned about from Napoleon Hill in his timeless book, Think and Grow Rich. I want to emphasize again that this is the highest leverage model that I know of for personal change and success. Of everything I'm sharing here in this book, nothing has the direct sort of shaping power and influence that a mastermind has. If you want to change and become something that you're not, then this is the way to do it. It probably has 5 or 10 times the leverage of any other way of influencing yourself. In fact, Napoleon Hill said directly and clearly that no one can have great power and success in life without a mastermind. So not only is it a path to becoming who you want to become and achieving what you want to achieve, but if you don't use the power of the mastermind, then it's essentially impossible to realize great success in life. Hill defined a mastermind as coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. I will explain my way of thinking about a mastermind. To me, a mastermind has the following qualities: group of people, high achievers, meeting regularly, sharing and supporting each other, working purposefully, collaborating. Let's take these one at a time. Group of people. This is key. There's something about our natural imitative learning function that is highly influenced when we're observing another person, ideally in person, who is a living example of what we are trying to learn or develop within ourselves. Just like a child learns from who you are and not what you're saying, we adults also learn from a sort of direct transmission that happens when we are in the presence of another person. It's a kind of tribal wiring. This effect is so powerful that we must be very careful who we expose ourselves to, as other people influence everything from our self-image and self-esteem to our model of how the world works to our beliefs about reality itself. If we are in the presence of someone with a negative self-image and pessimistic beliefs, these will imprint upon our psyches without any conscious effort or even awareness in most cases. When you then put yourself into a group of people who all share particular ideas and values, it creates an exponential multiplication effect of influence that is essentially irresistible. Social psychology has shown over and over again in many different types of contexts that a group of people can influence an individual to do things that are completely against what the individual would have done if they were alone. When you use this knowledge intentionally and you assemble a group of people that is consciously designed to influence you in a direct way, because you have imagined where you want to go in life and want to use the ultimate technology for shaping yourself, this force becomes profound. Key to the mastermind, it's a group of people. High achievers. Because we are influenced so directly and powerfully by others and by groups, we want to intentionally select people who will be the most positive influence on us and on our direction in life. My experience and my teachers have shown me that one way to identify people who will perform well in the future is to look at how they performed in different situations in the past in their lives. Many people give up when they face obstacles or setbacks, or they stop trying when challenges arise and the going gets harder. When forming a mastermind, look for those who have consistently achieved success in their lives, in domains that you admire. Ideally, the people you select will have already achieved success in the domain that you want to achieve success in yourself. By intentionally selecting high achievers for your mastermind group, you stack the odds dramatically in your favor and in the group's favor. Meeting regularly. As your group begins to form, you will notice that a sort of collective intelligence begins to emerge. The more the group can work together, the more this becomes obvious to everyone involved. In a sense, this is what's meant by the word mastermind. It's like taking a bunch of minds and plugging them into a network and using them as building blocks to create something on a higher order. You could imagine each mind becoming a neuron in a brain that links on higher levels. Meeting regularly is a key to the emergence of this phenomenon. I have been in masterminds that meet weekly, and masterminds that meet quarterly, and masterminds that meet every 6 to 12 months. It's not necessary to meet often in order to benefit, But my experience is that if you meet more often, you'll benefit more. Whatever you do, make sure to meet regularly with your mastermind because the value and quality of what happens goes up with each successive meeting. Sharing and supporting. The spirit of the mastermind is one of contribution and support. You will likely get even more than you give, but the trick to this being true is your willingness to give to others and the group. Because of the direct influential power of the mastermind context, as soon as this process of giving begins, it turns into a virtuous cycle, and it influences everyone to give. Supportive environments benefit everyone on multiple levels. They increase happiness from the social interaction. They increase a sense of well-being, and they increase inspiration, in my experience. If you're a more independent personality type, practice giving and receiving support in your mastermind. By supporting each other on many levels, it can bring you magnified benefits in your relationships, family, and overall life, not to mention your business. Working purposefully. A mastermind is more powerful if it has a purpose. Just like an individual becomes more focused when they have a purpose, the group becomes more focused as well. If you have a mastermind meeting and you just hang around and talk, you might enjoy it, but you'll only generate a fraction of the value that you could have with a purpose. You can have a tactical purpose, and you can also have a strategic purpose. In one of my masterminds, we each take turns on the hot seat, and we share a challenge or an opportunity that we have in our business. The rest of the group then takes 30 to 45 minutes giving that person specific feedback and advice to help them. This is more of a tactical purpose that gets everyone focused. As an example at the strategic level, my wife and I went to a gathering of friends who were having a celebration. As part of the event, three members of the group performed a long-form visionary poem. They had asked everyone in the group to share what their unique gift was beforehand and what their vision was for the world, and then they wove all of the submissions from their members together into a powerful shared vision. It was incredible to listen as the entire group's voice was combined into one collective poem. Collaborating. Collaboration is built on the recognition that each of us brings unique gifts and individual talents to the group and to the mission. As you work with people who have specific types of genius and you work together in various situations, you begin to discover ways to work in pairs, small groups, and larger groups more efficiently. To me, collaboration is special because it implies multiple people who are different, but who are also aligned and synchronized and who are operating as one emergent entity. When you're collaborating, you are in the domain of 1 plus 1 equals 3, or 1 plus 1 equals 11. As your mastermind continues to evolve, you will see these magical moments emerge where the group is acting with one mind and one body. Watch for these moments where something emerges that could not have come from one person alone. I was reading recently that most great scientific innovations that are attributed to individuals are actually the result of collaborations when you look closer. The key to collaboration is to find people who have different types of intelligence and skills, and then figure out how to work together as a team and how to turn differences into complementary pairs and combinations. Remember when you meet someone who sees the world in a very different way that they might make a great collaboration partner. Organizing a mastermind is organizing a group mind. It's setting up the conditions so that a collaborative, higher order intelligence can emerge. When that happens, windows of opportunity open in higher dimensions for each member of the group. The mastermind represents concentrated transformational energy and concentrated opportunity generation potential. Each of us should be a member of at least one mastermind at all times, in my opinion. It's the fastest, highest leverage way to transform yourself and your success that I know of. Reminder: get a summary of this entire book, plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Social models of opportunity. Each group or subculture sees reality in a unique way. When you immerse yourself in a group of people and a subculture that is passionate about something, you learn a new way of thinking about and approaching everything. Seek out the evolutionary leaders within the subculture as they are essentially living in the future in their domains. Combine ideas and models that you learn from different places and use them in your life to innovate. To do this, you must acquire the taste for being a beginner in novel situations. It requires bravery, but it's worth it. Build an opportunity network by meeting and connecting people who are at the intersections of diverse subcultures and networks. The highest leverage model and tool for change and success that I know of is the mastermind. It's composed of a group of people who are high achievers, meeting regularly, sharing and supporting each other, working purposefully, and collaborating. Organizing a mastermind is organizing a group mind. It's creating the conditions so that higher order intelligence can emerge. What is a domain that you'd like to learn about where you could go and seek out the niche group and subculture that is on the leading edge? Who could you add to your opportunity network that is already at the intersection of diverse fields? Which area of your life would you like to change the most where you could build a mastermind to supercharge your transformation power?